here. I said, I think I may have messed that up. I got to go back and order for the book of Daniel. You'll take Daniel 1st through 4 chapters, and that's concerning the captivity and the interpretation of dreams. You would then go chapter 7, being the vision of the four beasts and the first year of Belshazzar. And then chapter 8 would be the vision of the rams and the he-goat, or the ram and the he-goat, that being the third year of Belshazzar. And chapter 5 is the Belshazzar's feast, and that's where he had died. And then chapter 9, this concerns the vision of the 70 weeks, as it's referred, and Darius, not to be confused with Darius the Great. Then chapter 6 would be Daniel in the lion's den. And then chapter 10 through 12, that talks about the visions to come and talks about, I believe, the Lord coming back. So that would be how I would go through the book of Daniel and understanding that chronological order. And this book really threw me for a loop when you get to reading, because it's like, I've heard that name Darius. That's got to be. No, it's not. And then we'll see here in a little bit. As you get into the first of Ezra, you'll read names, Nehemiah, Mordecai, right there in the starting of the second chapter. And you're like, well, that's got to be. Nope. Ain't the same ones. It's not the wall builder of Nehemiah, and that Mordecai is not the one of the book of Esther. So you, for me, I key in on these names thinking I know them, and it ends up sometimes it is, sometimes it ain't. But it confused me quite a bit, but maybe we get back on the straight today. If you got your outline, we're down towards the bottom of the portion called Prophecy Fulfilled, and down where it says chapter 5 and 28, the writing on the wall, and this is talking about Darius and when and when he would pass. So if y'all are on Belshazzar, whenever he passed, this is that writing on the wall right before Darius is to come. So 5 and 28. You turn over there, and this is where we'd finished up last week, I guess. We talked about that handwriting. That finger came, and it wrote this stuff on the wall. But it says there in 28, it says, "Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." And everywhere you read, it always combines the Medes and the Persians. And there's some belief out there that doesn't necessarily believe that they were one in one entity, but what we'll see here in a little bit is you won't see an overthrow of the Medes from the Persians. You just see it goes from a king of the Medes to a king of the Persians. And there wasn't any big battle. There wasn't any big fight there to discuss. It was one left and another one came in, and it was Cyrus. So those two are always tied together. But there in the 29th, then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldees, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So that Darius has now taken the kingdom, and that's why we put that in the chronological order the way that we did, with chapter 7 and 8 coming beforehand, then chapter 5, and now we can go into chapter 9 and trying to keep this somewhat chronological. As you read there in the first verse of chapter 9, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which made king over the realm of the Chaldees, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So we've talked about that 70 years that land would be desolate, was how it was put. Jeremiah put it as that they would serve the king of Babylon for that 70 years. I'll be honest with you, that part has still thrown me for a loop, and it may just be as simple as understanding that I first wanted to understand that there had to be a king of Babylon for that 70 years, and I could not get that. Nebuchadnezzar was not a king for 70 years, nor was his predecessors still there during the 70 years, like we just read. Now we've got a Median king of Darius, and the 70 years is already, it has not happened yet. So, but my confusion was, to be the king of Babylon, meaning you're the king over that area, but not necessarily from Babylon. Babylon is still there. It's just now the Medes and the Persians are the kings over that area. So that 70 years is still running. That's 70 years from the time Nebuchadnezzar came in to the time that Cyrus allows him to come back. And Cyrus was pointed out by there in Isaiah. And he had said that that his name would be Cyrus. So what you're reading about here with Daniel talking about, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of his years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years of desolation in Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek my by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. So what he's doing here, he's realized this 70 years that he's lived through every bit of. Keep in mind, he was one of the first that was taken out of Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar came in, roughly 605, Daniel was taken out. This is pushing 70-something years later, somewhere to the tune of 66 years later, I think is what you're looking at here. And it hits him with this new king coming in. The Medes are coming in, and it matches the vision that he was given back in chapter 2 to show this head of gold, to show this breast and arms of silver. And then what he's seeing here is the realization it's all happening. He's close. It's close to 70 years of being over. That's why he's mourning. That's why this means so much to him. And to know he's going to get to come back, or some would get to come back into the house of the Lord soon. I think we can kind of all relate to that. He won't, the best I can tell, he never goes back. The last place that I found where he was at, if you fast forward to chapter 10, verse 4, in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, that is also translated to the Tigris. That Tigris River was right on the north side of Babylon. He's still a long way from home, folks. I don't believe he ever went back. So he left 605. The 66-something years have gone by. I don't know. We assumed him to be somewhat of a teenager. So he's at least, he's all over 80 years old at this point and lived his life in Babylon for the most part. He was grounded as a young man in the Lord. Come what circumstances, it didn't change Daniel. The book of Daniel should teach us God expects us to remain true to Him in face of threats, wars, legal pronouncements, or changing customs. And he lived through every bit of that. So if we've got any kind of direction of how, or any kind of example of how we should lead our life in times like we're going through, this would be a good one. It's amazing how this stuff lines up sometimes with our the times that we're dealing with. But I think going through our timeline there, and I kind of skipped over that towards the bottom of that page where it says prophecy fulfilled. We do go back and we revisit some of what we touched on a few weeks back when we're talking about the what's listed there in the second chapter of Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar had this dream and he wouldn't tell any of his people what the dream even was, but yet he wanted them to interpret it. And that's when Daniel came about, and all the kings that Daniel was working with, from Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Chaldees, which would be Babylon, and then you got Darius the Mede, and then you'll have, you had Belshazzar, then you got Darius, and all of this that he lived and worked with, he was able to leave his life as an example, and he made an impression on these kings. And you know, we may never be elevated to a point to where we would ever be seen and change the things that Daniel changed, but because he lived his life the way that he was supposed to, people in high places took note of that. And we'll see here in just a bit, there's decrees written. If you go back, as we talked about in chronological order, now let's step back to chapter 6 of Daniel. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So the king's seen this. He knew this. He's heard of Daniel. He's heard of the things that he's able to prophesy. But, you know, each time you come in into a new job, a new position, and you start seeing other people and how they act and how they're held at such high regard, and sometimes you want to figure out if that's legit. Sometimes you say, is that he just been riding somebody's coattails, or is he kind of making his own way? And I believe Daniel allowed the Lord to make his way, and that elevated him. But the point I want to get to here in chapter 6 is this is the king that would throw Daniel into the lion's den. But yet, Darius didn't want to do this, and we know this. These men tricked Darius into making this law, and then because he made this law, then that he was then to come out and have to follow this law. Where's that listed at? It says that this law that was made, that it has to be followed, because he you could tell the king didn't want to throw him in there. And then they said here in the 15th verse of chapter 6, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians, and that's going to be critical, the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. 6 and 15. So what they were reminding him of is, hey, the law that the Medes and the Persians make, you can't go back on it, and you got to throw Daniel in the lion's den. And he held up to it, although he didn't want to. And again, you talk about making a change in this king's life. And I don't want to fast forward to it, but it'll come to a point to where that law that is written, it carries a lot of weight. It says later that Cyrus wrote into law, and that meant that everybody had to follow. He wrote in the law that who God was. Now, Cyrus wouldn't necessarily showed any of these things. Why would Cyrus come in and all of a sudden start following and doing this stuff? But it was because he recognized Darius for what he was. Darius had been shown these things, and he held him in such high regard and allowed him into places, I believe, that Cyrus recognized real quick that he wasn't just a coattail rider, that he was somebody to be That was legit, for lack of better terms. But when he makes that law later on, and we'll see that over at in the first of Ezra, that they are to follow God. But just want to get that point across. Any questions so far? Anything to add? Seems like that's, we've already got a bunch out there this morning. Let's go to the introduction, as I've got listed in that same portion. Introduction of Darius the Mede. Daniel in 531 was 62 years old when he took the kingdom. Daniel 9:1 refers to the Darius, son of Ahasuerus, seed of the Medes. Daniel was reminded of the prophecy of Jeremiah and was looking forward to the return to Babylon after 70 years, which we've already discussed that. Daniel would have been 80 years old, still seeking the Lord in prayer, and admits that we have sinned. That was another point I wanted to get to. And he does say we have sinned. Now you think about Daniel and you think, man, as close as he was to the Lord and how he followed him faithfully, but he says we have sinned. And he done that, and that's another reason why people respected him. He didn't just walk in and point out somebody else's for their faults. We've all been there. We've seen people come in and say, well, anybody that done this, oh, y'all ought to hang your head in shame, you know, whatever that this is. But Daniel includes himself, and he wasn't just doing that just to try to act like. I believe he recognized he had sinned. We have sinned. But he includes himself as being part of the problem. This is why Daniel is so respected of others. The Medes are mentioned to overtake the Babylonians in Isaiah 13 and 17. So that was prophesied 200 and something years before it happened. Jeremiah 51, 11, and then 28. So if you want to look that up. But Darius the Mede was the king that had Daniel thrown in the lion's den, and Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and Cyrus, as it's referred there in 6 and 28. And that's the point of when he prospered there with Darius, that carried over with Cyrus, which would be king of the Persians. And that's where we're coming down to. So we've had Nebuchadnezzar, we've had Belshazzar, we've had Darius during this exile time. Two of which being of Babylonian or Chaldees, and then Belshazzar being part of that, Darius being the Mede, and now going into Cyrus, and then there'll be a list of them there that we'll get to know. Some of these names here, if you're in your outline, kings of Persia, Cyrus, king of Persia, was from 559 to 529. That was his reign, but he didn't come in to conquer Babylon until 539. So that would have been 66 years or so since Babylon had been exiled. Was the beginning of his reign. Cambyses, not mentioned in the Bible by name. Then you got Pseudo-Smerdis, ruled 7 months, not mentioned Bible in the name. And then you come to Darius the First. The new temple finished in the sixth year of his reign, and that'll be in the book of Ezra. So we may start reading into Ezra here in just a bit. But the reason for putting these other names, and that'll come up in a bit, there'll be an issue from Cyrus to Darius, like I mentioned earlier, and then they said, well, they petitioned Darius, and they said, well, was it not stated that Cyrus made this petition? Well, he had them go back and look in the archives to find this petition, to find this law. Well, you would think, even though the Bible doesn't say these names, had Darius been directly behind Cyrus, he would have known these things. He would have been already in rank, and he would have known. But to me, that kind of tips the hand to say that there were other people that we just don't know about, and we've seen that in our recent study. There'll be one or two that just maybe not listed. Yeah. So that doesn't mean that they didn't exist. It just means it wasn't included. So, any thoughts on that? I know that's kind of skipping through Daniel there pretty quick. There's a lot there going on for sure. maybe that'll be another study, but I feel like we need to go on back to where we started a few weeks ago. We finished up at the end of 2 Chronicles, just a few verses before the end of the book. And there was a reason for that. When you get to the end of 2 Chronicles, we finished up at the end of verse 20 from where Nebuchadnezzar had carried them away into Babylon. It'd be the last chapter, chapter 36. Verse 20 was where we stopped, and then we went about our other study to understand there was a void of time there that 2 Chronicles didn't capture. So if you step from knowing that Nebuchadnezzar was king there in verse 20, now you go to verse 21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. So there's 70 years there. The last we've read is from this last eviction, if you will, somewhere around 586 B.C., and now we're coming into, starting in the 22nd verse, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. That would have been in 539. A big gap of time with several kings not mentioned there, but it doesn't mean they don't exist. We just can't get hung up in those details, and that's where I catch myself a lot of times. But in the 22nd, I want to read that again if I hadn't already. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished. Might be. Now that ain't we don't know if it's going to happen. It's just to allow it to happen. He spoke so that this can carry on. I believe some people read this to say that that's when the time clock stops. It's close, but I don't personally think that's it. Might be accomplished. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, and what did we say just a minute ago? When it's in writing, it's the law. If it means throwing Daniel in the lion's den, and even if you don't want to, it's going to be followed one way or the other. Because that was the law of the who? The Medes and the Persians. Cyrus is king of the Persians. So this is a done deal when he says this. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you? All his people. The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. Amen. Amen. He recognized him though, didn't he? Stirred him up, it says. Well, Miss Sheila, I'm with you. I hate to read into that too much, and I don't want to read into it too little. I mean, we know that God used Pharaoh. I don't know that Pharaoh. Well, I know he wasn't saved, but he was able to use him in a way to get his things done. But boy, to see Cyrus step out and to say these things, hath the Lord God of heaven given me. He's recognizing the Lord's given him these things. He recognized him to be Lord. I believe when Paul recognized Jesus to be Lord, we don't necessarily read his words saying that I got saved right there, but he recognized him to be Lord right there on that road to Damascus.
I don't think no one ever convinced me that Cyrus wasn't saved.
Amen.
And because it said that the Lord stirred up the heart of Cyrus or the spirit of Cyrus.
Amen.
And I believe he was saved through the influence of going all the way back to old Daniel.
Amen.
I believe Daniel was the influence that inspired him, that showed him that God was God. And I mean, there's lots and lots of saved Gentiles in the Old Testament. And Cyrus was just another one of them, I believe.
Amen.
And I believe that was through Daniel living his life in the valley, that he never got on the mountain.
Amen.
So to
That's right.
Until he reached home.
Amen.
God used him as a Gentile king.
Sure did.
I believe he got saved, and then God stirred his heart up to send the Hebrews back, go back over and build the Lord's house.
Amen. Amen. Good question, Miss Shee. Hope Barry answered your question. I'm with you. I personally believe there's enough evidence there to make you believe he was a saved individual. Anything else? And though that we just read, when you go over into the book of Ezra, my next page, it says all of that again. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying. Now, there's a whole lot of folks that say that Ezra might have been the writer of 1st and 2nd Chronicles. And when you read that, you would think, very well spot on. It's word for word in translation anyway. So, thus said Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven, hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. So there again, word for word. And we may, we'll probably go ahead and stick with this book of Ezra and try to read into it in just a little bit. We want to get back to the outline. The kings of Persia, we talked about Cyrus, king of Persia. This is his time. He came in, conquered Babylon, they say, on October the 12th, 539 B.C. Now, that you won't find that date in the Bible. Just letting you know that's history showing that date. And then we talked about the next two kings not being listed, and then Darius the first, and then after him would be Ahasuerus, also called Xerxes. Artaxerxes would have been the next after that. That would have been the time frame of Ezra chapter 7 through the book of Nehemiah. And the book of, got this noted here, the book of 2 Chronicles ends with chapter 36, 20 and 21, the captivity of Judah, 597 B.C., then skips about 58 years to verse 22 in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. This would have been from the time Cyrus had overtaken the land entirely from the Medes. Cyrus prophesied of in Jeremiah 25, 11 through 14, 29 and 10, 200 years before this, Isaiah had called him by name in chapter 44, 21 through 28, 45, 1 and 5, the Lord stirred him up, Isaiah 45 and 13. So it used that verbiage. If we'd want to go over there and read that, it uses that verbiage, stirred up, that was prophesied, that's how it was going to happen, and then that's how it was written there. But, any thoughts? We may be at a good stopping point. We'll pick up there at the return to Jerusalem next week in the book of Ezra. If nothing else, we can consider self-dismissed this morning.